Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Your Integrative Physician. I'm Dr. Patrick Fratellone. Tonight we're talking about adaptogenic herbs. And if you want to call in, I'm going to give you the call-in number. It's 646-716-8698. And the reason I pick adaptogenic herbs is that we all have stress every day. There's not a day goes by where we don't have to adapt, our bodies don't have to adapt to the stress that we undergo. Now, the stress could be the stress of health. It could be a medical stress. It could be an environmental stress. It could be a psychosocial stress, which could be a marriage, could be a partner, could be your children. And speaking from the heart, I have to tell you that there's not a day that goes by that I don't have some stress of one of those things. And you have to stay balanced and healthy. And the idea is to look into a comprehensive look at some of the adaptogens. Now, there are some herbs that are adaptogenic herbs. These are non-toxic that can help our own body respond to stress. And some of them are ginseng, Eleutherococcus, licorice, ashwagandha, rhodiola, gota cola. And these herbs, these rejuvenating herbs, and some of their tonics help the body to adapt. That's why they're called adaptogens. And they adapt to many influences that we encounter. They also can increase our stamina. They can increase our energy. They counter the normal effects of aging. So some of these have been touted as the anti-aging circuit, such as ginseng. There's a great book called The Divine Root, and it's all about ginseng. There's books on Eleutherococcus and rhodiola. And these adaptogens are becoming important tools in sports medicine. You have to make sure none of these adaptogenic herbs change the patient's performance or are illicit, and these are not. These are just normal plants, herbs. But they can be used, especially that I use them, in chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, a lot of autoimmune diseases, and other stress-related illnesses. And one of my mentors, colleagues that has taught me a lot in the years studying herbs has been David Winston. And David Winston is located in Washington, New Jersey. He has a vitamin company, and he wrote a great book. I would say the book that David wrote is probably now, unless it's a new edition, I have an old one, it's about 7 years old. It's called Adaptogens, Herbs for Strength, Stamina, and Stress Relief. Another colleague that I've heard speak at many meetings is Donnie Yance. And although he deals with cancer on the West Coast in a clinic, his recent book on medical herbalism, I'll get the exact title, was really good for dealing with stress. And there are adaptogenic names from all over the world. And, you know, there's a common name, there's a Chinese name, there is an Ayurvedic name, which is Indian medicine. But some of the ones include American ginseng. Now, there's also Asian ginseng, astragalus, which is wonderful, amla, which is a fruit, which you get a lot of vitamin C from, cordyceps, a mushroom, there is Eleutherococcus, there is holy basil, there is licorice, there is reishi, there is rhodiola, there is shishandra, and there is shatavi. So there are many, many herbs that are great adaptogens. And, of course, we can't talk about all of them, so I'm going to pick out a couple that I think are important. You also have to understand, I'm not going to give the botanical name. For instance, Eleutherococcus is Eleutherococcus centenicus. Asian ginseng is called Panax ginseng. American ginseng is called Panax quinifolius. Other ones, rhodiola is Rhodiola rosaceae. I'm trying to get ones that I remember. Shishandra berry is Shishandra chinensis. I'm trying to think which other one would I would use a lot. That's probably the most common that I would use. But we have to understand, what is it about? Every one of these adaptogens has an active ingredient. And some of these active ingredients are astringents, some of them are terpenes, some of them are alkaloids. So, for instance, one that is easy in licorice is glycerin. So it's G-L-Y-C-R-I-H-I-Z-I-M. It all has genistein. Reishi is ganoderms. These are mushrooms. Rhodiola has some flavonoids. It also has a special group called rosevins, which there are three of. So there are active ingredients in these plants that allow them to adapt to our body stress. Now, there's a lot of history of adaptogens, and I think you could either read Nicholas Culpepper for that. You could look at, let's say, Sauer has a great book called Herbal Cures that's pretty old. And for instance, when you look at Culpepper, sometimes when he, there was a about 2 years, Brevington's Complete Herbal, which is by Terry Brevington, which is based on Culpepper's The English Physician and Complete Herbal of 1653, you could pick out a certain plant and you would hear some of the history when reading that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to find an adaptogenic herb in Brevington's book. I think astragalus would be something, but we'll see. And I want to read some of it because it is important to whether you're looking about Eleutherococcus or ashwagandha. There might be something written about in Culpepper that you might find fascinating. I know reading Culpepper, one of the foremost herbalists, is interesting. So let's see, we're going to pick out ginseng. I guess ginseng would be one we would pick out. But let's see if we could get astragalus. So, no. Rhodiola? No. And that's interesting because that means a lot of the adaptogens weren't used by Culpepper. Gotocola, no. So I'm looking at all the ones that are interesting, and a lot of them weren't used, which is now something that I learned, that there are not of a lot of adaptogens in his book. So I guess the one we'll pick out is, let's pick up a topic of nervines. Nervines is a group of herbs that they're complementary to adaptogens, and because stress causes adaption to stress causes some of us to get anxious, depressed, there is a set of herbs that also could complement the use of these adaptogenic herbs. One thing out of everything that I have read is that sleep is of the utmost importance, and it's really good to get a great night's sleep. And one of the herbs that I use as a nervine, and I use it through the day and maybe higher dose of sleep, is skullcap. So skullcap is a nervine that would help. Blue vervain, passion flower, valerian. So you have to realize if you're sitting like me behind a desk most of the day, unless I take time to do some activity, you develop a lot of problems, circulation problems. There's sometimes you eat too much, there's insulin resistance. So adaptogens offer some benefit, and it doesn't take the place of regular exercise. So sleep is important, hydrating yourself, and regular exercise. If you are using place of exercise, I think that is wrong. And I think we'll take our first caller. Let's see, caller, you're on the air. You have a question? Hello? Okay. We're going to see you have a question. All right, we'll just go back. They were just listening, which is fine. So I don't think anything should take the place of exercise. And what I like is some of the herbs from the Materia Medica that I would use with the adaptogenic herbs. As I said, I love to use skullcap, scutellaria. I love passiflora, which is passion flower. I really like a mint family herb called Melissa officinalis, which is lemon balm. I think that's a great. St. John's wort is sometimes used. When I was in the School of Integrative Medicine, the fellowship, one of my colleagues, friends, teachers, Tijuana Law Dog, we had to pick an herb that we would write about a lot. And one herb that I wrote about a lot was motherwort. And Leonoris cardica, I picked it for the cardiac helping palpitations. But after reading a lot about motherwort, there are many calming nervine effects. Some people like freshy milky oat, which I'm not a big fan of that, but that doesn't mean it's not used. One herb that I've used as a nervine to calm people down is linden. The number to call in tonight is 646-716-8698. And I'm Dr. Patrick Fratellone, an integrative physician. Our new location, and we've been here since February, is 515 Madison Avenue, 6th floor, New York, New York. You enter at 53rd Street. Our number has not changed. It's 212-421-3202. You could also find us on the web at fratellonemedical.com. I post a blog every single day. And today was on Ladies Mantle thing. And yesterday I wrote on abuse of Advil. And I did that because it's a personal thing. My father-in-law is in the hospital, which by in pain, taking too many Advil, he had a kidney problem, and he's in kidney failure, doing better. Thank you all for your prayers and meditation. He's doing much better. But this is very kind. So the blogs are really what I think of. And how did Ladies Mantle come up today? One of my patients yesterday was complaining about heavy menses. And I said, listen, this is going to sound really odd. There's an herb I love, Lady's Mantle and a Shepherd's Purse. Maybe you should try it. And she has reported that by using those herbs for 2 solid days, there has been a decrease in her menstrual flow. So, you know, herbs are important. So let's discuss some of them. Let's pick someone, an herb that is an adaptogen. In India, it is known as Kulakud, which is Gota Kola, Centella. It has many names in India. It's more of an Ayurvedic thing, but it's found in Thailand. They actually drink a juice, a drink out of Centella called Pennywort juice, which is made with Gota Kola, sugar, and water, and it's used to enhance energy and concentration. I have used Gota Kola in my patient population. I have found that I have great success when it's used in children. My average dose is about 30 drops 3 times a day. For children, depending on their size and their weight, I have decreased the dosage to about 10 drops 2 to 3 times a day. It should not be used in pregnancy. None of the herbs I talk about should be, and it can sometimes cause a headache. But I think it's a very mild adaptogenic herb. It prevents the increase of cortisol and adrenaline. So let's talk about cortisol. Cortisol is an adrenal hormone. Cortisol is the way we react to stress. If you're stressed, your cortisol level will go up. If your cortisol level goes up, your sugar is going to go up, and then insulin is going to go up. So people that have a lot of stress in their life are sometimes insulin resistant. For those of you listening, insulin resistant is when for years you've been eating too many carbohydrates, and insulin is supposed to come out of the pancreas to bring the sugar down, which would be nice. Sometimes, after years of abusing carbohydrates, the insulin level doesn't go up and come down, but stays up. And that is called insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome, prediabetes. And, you know, there could be a whole topic on diabetes, but usually people that have increased stress have some form of sugar imbalance. And people think of sugar imbalance as those on insulin and those not on insulin. So therefore, those on insulin would be called IDDM, insulin-dependent diabetic mellitus, and then NIDDM is non-insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus. I believe, and working with the father of carbohydrates, the father of all diets, Dr. Robert Atkins, the late Robert Atkins, I do believe there's 4 stages of diabetes. And his PA, Karen, who passed away about a year and a half ago, she was big on talking about this. And I have to, she was a wonderful PA. And Jerry Brewster, who was a nutritionist. And, you know, we all believe, you know, he had something there. Atkins had it right. Now, he had it right in the sense that he did a lot of glucose tolerance tests. And we found that a lot of people are pre-diabetic. And a lot of people are pre-diabetic have a lot of stress. And if people have a lot of stress, they need adaptogenic herbs and they need some Nervine herbs. But the reason I'm bringing up sugar is a person who eats a lot of sugar and the sugar goes up and down, they always come into my office and say, oh, I've been diagnosed with hypoglycemia. And hypoglycemia, if you take apart the word, hypo means low, glycemic means sugar, it means you have a low sugar. But that's a misnomer because you don't have a low sugar all the time. You have an unstable blood sugar depending on what you eat. So if my breakfast is in the morning a protein shake, my sugar level won't go up as high. But if my breakfast, which is not a bagel, my sugar would go up high. So if I had a bagel in the morning, sugar would go up. It would drop in 2 hours. You would be in halt, hungry, angry, lonely, and tired, and you eat again. So this up and down of the blood sugar, some older people still call it hypoglycemia. I would rather call it unstable blood sugar, stage one of a patient with sugar problems. Stage two, you're still eating the carbohydrates. Blood sugar is going up and down. You have unstable blood sugar. But now your insulin level is supposed to go up and come down. Insulin is released from the pancreas to react to the sugar load, and therefore the sugar comes down, and insulin comes down. The problem is, after so many years of the pancreas doesn't know whether to put out this amount of insulin or that amount of insulin, the insulin stays up. That is, again, syndrome X, insulin resistance, metabolic syndrome. The next stage is NIDDM, someone who now needs some type of medicine to control insulin levels. Usually that medicine is metformin. And the fourth stage is you now have gone to be an insulin-dependent diabetic. There are millions, and I mean millions of people out there with insulin resistance. And a lot of it is linked to stress. And by listening to this show and telling your friends about it, and you could listen to it again and again on Blog Talk Radio, the title of the show is Adaptogenic Herbs, and we're going to talk about the secrets of these herbs which actually boost our immune system and keep everything level. And one of the ones we mentioned was Gota Kola, and I think that's a wonderful herb. Is it the premier adaptogenic herb? Probably not. I would say there are many, many more adaptogenic herbs that I would think of before using Gota Kola. And one of those herbs which people talk about all the time is ginseng. Now, ginseng, American ginseng, which is Panax, is used a lot. It definitely has a long history with the Cherokee Indians. This is opposed to Asian ginseng, which is what we're going to talk about after this. But we talk about Asian ginseng is Panax ginseng, which is one that's one the book, The Divine Root, talks about it. But I think we should talk about the ginseng that is American. It was used in ceremonies with the Cherokee Indians. It was used initially for shortness of breath, headaches, coughing. And basically, Seminole Indians call this white medicine. And it really has been a tonic for centuries, used for things like chronic, like arthritis, headaches, earaches. The Iroquois used a syrup of this when a person was not feeling well or they had a loss of appetite. So I think there are many native people in America who has used ginseng root or leaf either in a ceremony or a ceremony to help the person hunt better, to help them eat better. So there is use for American ginseng. Today, it has this adaptogenic herb, and it's useful for treatment of hypothalamus pituitary problems. Again, it deals with hormones. And an herb that helps balance deficient or excessive hormones. bodily function is called amphoteric. So ampho is A-M-P-H-O-T-E-R-I-C. So the name of American ginseng is that it's an amphoteric herb, beside being an adaptogen, that it can help balance the body. And when you think of balancing the body, you think of yin and yang, or yin and yang. And so this herb, amphoteric, ampho both, has the ability to balance the deficient areas of the body as well as the excessive. And I think a lot of people use American ginseng as the male sexual tonic. And I think it's a lot in a lot of male formulas. I would probably think of other things like pine bark pollen. I would probably use chrysin as a supplement, horny goat weed as an herb. But you can find Panax ginseng, which is the Asian ginseng, in many erectile formulas as well as the American. The American, not as much as the Asian. So when you think about American ginseng, you have to think it adapts to your stress. Now, people would say, what would be the dose? I don't like giving doses out because I believe in treating patients individually when it comes to herb. I look at their constitution. I look at what works for them. I get to know their social problems, their psychosocial problems, their medical problems. So I range anywhere from 60 to 90 drops 2 to 3 times a day for someone who needs an adaptogen. Ashwagandha with thania is one of my favorite adaptogenic herbs. It's from India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, and parts of Africa. You could plant it. It could be planted indoors, just like you might even plant a tomato indoors. Its modern use, ashwagandha, is unusual that it is more of a calming adaptogen. So I use it in helping the gland, which controls bodily functions and temperature, to help calm that down, and that would be the thyroid. So it really helps regulate the thyroid, the adrenals, and the testicles. But especially I use ashwagandha as a complement to someone who's on thyroid medicine. It does have, there are very few herbs that have a direct effect on the thyroid. The other one would be, I'm trying to think, would be bugleweed and lemon balm. But that would be to slow down a very hyperactive thyroid. I use ashwagandha to sort of level. And the reason I like it, because it acts as a nervine, which is calming, an adaptogen to help the anxiety, the fatigue. A lot of patients come in, and you can relate to that if you're out there, brain fog. Some people have brain fog. And when they have brain fog, I like to give them one of the adaptogens. And the one that I like to give, rather than ginseng, and this is just personal, is ashwagandha. It's a good for the brain fog, the person who wants to think better, stress-induced insomnia. I like it for that. I like it for myself. And anyone who has what they call nervous exhaustion, really just so stressed out that they think they're having a breakdown, and they call it nervous exhaustion. It also is good for the other endocrine glands, immune system. It's rich in iron, which is important. So someone who has iron deficiency, I like to give them ashwagandha. And they could make it as a tea, and they could add it to an almond milk, provided it's not a vanilla almond milk. You could add it to a coconut milk. The problem with iron is a lot of people get constipated. If you just tuned in, I'm Dr. Patrick Fratellone. We're discussing adaptogenic herbs. The number to call in tonight is 646-716-8698. And we're just mentioning, talking about ashwagandha, one of my favorite adaptogenic herbs. And again, it's called withania. A lot of good research on withania. Definitely think about it when you think of the thyroid. Another, we talked about one of the ginsengs. We talk about ginseng the whole night. But a lot of patients know and they buy astragalus. And astragalus is used more, I believe, in Chinese medicine than in Western American herbology. Astragalus is native to China, and its name in Chinese means yellow leader, and it's called this because their roots are yellow, and it is the leader of the tonic herb. So I like astragalus. I like that first when a patient's undergoing chemo, I like to give them astragalus beforehand. It's quite ancient. It goes back a long time. I think it's a spleen qi tonic. It's good for appetite. It's good for fatigue. It's good for wasting syndrome. So, again, I like to use this in a cancer patient, a patient with HIV, a patient with other immunodeficiencies. It also strengthens the lung, so it does help the lung qi. So anyone who smokes or has a history of smoking, I like to do it. It's great for pernicious anemia, type of anemia. Again, astragalus, I think it enhances the immune system. It's good for colds, flus, bronchitis. When I think about lung and I think about adaptogen, that I want an adaptogen to help the lung, the first place I turn would be to astragalus. Again, the dosing varies from person to person. I like about 30 to 70 drops 2 to 3 times a day. I have used it, and I will use it in my father-in-law, Fred Bird, because it helps prevent kidney disease. And he already has some kidney disease from the overuse of Advil and not eating. So that might be an herb that I might put him on. I wouldn't suggest that to everyone because you have to know the medications that a person is on. You have to monitor and make sure there's no herb drug interaction. We do have an herbal PDR today. It's updated every year, just like the regular physician desk reference. We have the herbal drug physician's desk reference, and I would definitely search that out. Cordyceps. I like cordyceps. It's a mushroom. I think we underplay the use of mushrooms in this country. They are only becoming popular because of one person. That one person is Paul Stamets. Paul Stamets has recently wrote a book 2 years ago, still lecturing about it, called Mycelium Running. He is located in Olympia, Washington. He has a company called Fungi Imperfecta, and I would suggest looking at his mushrooms, the finest in the world. Other sources of mushrooms, I use Aloha Medicinals, but Paul lectures on mushrooms. Really read that book. Mushrooms Could Save the World. He is now on a plight to help bees and using mushrooms to help some of the bees. So that's an interesting concept. I would say that cordyceps is an immune function. It helps the immune function. It builds up the stamina, and I definitely would consider it. I want to talk more about reishi. I think we could talk about licorice, but I think we should talk more about reishi only because people consume a lot of mushrooms. And you could take one of Paul Stamets' courses, but cordyceps has been used for a long time in the royal family in China. So cordyceps, they used to stuff a lot of cordyceps in some of their animals. So when they had a duck, they used cordyceps. There are a lot of still Asian people today that just consume. They get in the Asian store cordyceps. It was definitely combined with many tonics and meats, such as you could find it in a chicken tonic, a pork tonic, and it was soaked. It's sort of like a bone broth, but it's mushrooms added to the meat. And, you know, it's good for anemia. It's good for impotence. The Chinese believe it definitely rejuvenates. It's just, I think, a wonderful Chinese herb for the spleen and the lung. It's good for bones, definitely good for sexual dysfunction. I don't know many of the adaptogens that are not used for sexually enhancing. The one thing about cordyceps is that I learned from one of my Asian patients that she has used it for years, more than 20 years, on her hearing and feels her hearing has never been lost due to the use of cordyceps. I know other people that run fertility clinics, and they believe putting on cordyceps to help male and female infertility. If you just tuned in tonight, I'm Dr. Patrick Fratellone. We are talking on The Integrative Physician. We're here every Tuesday night from 8:30 to 9:15. We do not take commercial breaks, although we should. The call-in number is 646-716-8698. I think cordyceps is relatively safe. I use anywhere from 20 to 40 drops 2 to 3 times a day. They feel that should it be, I know that I've read in some studies that you should avoid it if you're taking any chemotherapy. There is one doctor that I use, a Chinese herbalist named George Wang, that he actually believes that it can be used with immunosuppressive agents and chemotherapy. I haven't tried cordyceps on a person who has received an organ transplant, although I think it would work very well with that type of patient. The next herb that I want to discuss that people talk about is Eleutherococcus. And Eleutherococcus can be called sometimes Siberian ginseng. So don't forget, we have American ginseng, we have Asian ginseng, and some older herbal books still refer Eleutherococcus as Siberian ginseng. I kind of rather call it Eleutherococcus. It's been used in China a long time. I guess the use of it in China is sort of unusual how it came about. But in older books, in David Winston's book, he does talk about this. He does quote, David Winston's book does quote an old Chinese book way back from 1593. And really in China, it's used to strengthen the qi, the energy. And again, it's mainly for this one, it's spleen and kidney versus the previous ones that we discussed with spleen and lung. It's definitely good for men and women, I think, equally. I use it in younger people. I use it in the elderly. I've never seen it cause overstimulation, which I have seen in some patients using Asian ginseng. I definitely never seen Siberian ginseng do that. I have seen it be used in cardiology in some studies. Again, these are not double-blinded studies, but I have seen Eleutherococcus help lower the LDL, which, for those that don't know, the LDL is the low-density lipoprotein. The LDL is the bad cholesterol. And I sometimes add it to a green tea. I might add Eleutherococcus to a green tea formula only to help balance the LDL as well as the triglycerides. I don't think it's commonly that I see that, but if a person has stress-induced hypertension from a fight with a family member, I would definitely put them on motherwort, and I would definitely think of Eleutherococcus. I think those are two good herbs for that. I also use a blood pressure tea, which is mainly bitters, but it does help. Eleutherococcus does strengthen the immune system. It definitely really decreases your incidence of cold and flu when used on a regular basis. I do say it does speed recovery. So if you need a good speedy recovery from a hospital stay, besides using the homeopathic arnica, which I recommend, I definitely would use Eleutherococcus. It's also good in athletes. So I find, and this is where it doesn't cross a barrier of causing problems, I think people who work out for the marathon or are doing a strength training for some type of marathon or some kind of race, it's good to stop the immune depletion that you might get in excessive training. So I think it's that good. I have also, out of all the adaptogenic herbs, I have used Eleutherococcus in a formula to treat some cognitive function problems. Usually that formula contains two other products, phosphatidylcholine and phosphatidylserine. I don't think there's a good memory formula that is only herbal that is out there. I think a lot of people combine some good herbs like Eleutherococcus, some vipositine from the periwinkle plant, maybe they add bacoba, and then the two other things would be phosphatidylserine and phosphatidylcholine. So I really, unless people are welcome to show it to me, but I haven't seen a really good herbal formula for memory. I like Eleutherococcus because I do combine it with cordyceps, and especially when it's athletic performance. And I do combine it with another herb, which is a berry. So we are going to talk about Shishandra berry. Now, I like to use Shishandra berry specifically for my female clients, but not exclusively. Again, it is found in China, Japan, and certain parts of Asia. It has other properties than we have already pre-discussed in other adaptogenic herbs. For example, I like Shishandra berry because I feel it has an anti-inflammatory action. It's also an antioxidant. It also protects the liver. It also has this nervine. So I would use Shishandra berry as an adaptogen and as a nervine together without adding a separate skullcap. The berries do contain a lot of essential oils and a lot of vitamin C, not as much vitamin C as the fruit amla, A-M-L-A. But Shishandra berry does mean in Chinese five flavors, so some people have made a five-flavor tea with it because of that. It's great for GI upset. I use it great to control diarrhea. I use it for frequent urination. In females that have a vaginal discharge, it would be an herb that I would add. And for those young men with premature ejaculation, it has been used. I think there's more research that needs to be done, several bigger studies on this berry. You know, sometimes when I just need something to calm down, I might go in the tea room and with a little cup, grab a couple of Shishandra berries and just bite into them. It's not pleasant tasting, but it does take the edge off. It does calm you down. The reason I like the berries, or berries enhance your endocrine system, which is really important, especially with someone that has thyroid disease. When it comes to the helping the immune system, it's nonspecific. It doesn't act only on the adrenals. It acts in other areas of the immune system. And it really does help when you have stress. So now that stress could be stress from chronic anxiety. It could be anger. It could be from depression, or it could be fear. So Shishandra berry to me is that all-around berry for someone that's just messed up, having a bad day. And although you could start your day over at any time, it's a great adaptogenic to go to because it combines all those properties. It has the antioxidant effect and has the anti-inflammatory effect. I do give liberal dose of maybe 50 to 80 drops three times a day. If I make a decoction of dried berries, I usually use two teaspoons of dried berries and 8 to 10 ounces of water. I let it steep a little longer than the usual. It sometimes steeps for 20 to 30 minutes, and I ask the patient to take about 4 to 6 ounces three times a day. Why the difference between, I mean, it's a matter of convenience, a matter of what is the patient going to do. If it's easier to carry around a tincture, which is alcohol-based or sometimes glycerin-based, if it's easy to carry around the tincture and you're going to remember 40 drops three times a day or one full dropper full, if that's easy for you, that's great. But some clients, patients, like to make tea. I like to make tea before I go to bed. I usually put a little skull cap. I might put some Shishandra berry. I definitely like nettles before I go to bed because I get very stuffy at night. So, I mean, but this is one of the adaptogenic herbs, and most of them that I steep for a longer time. This one would be at least 20 minutes. I have read, but I have never seen this, but I have to state it. I have read that you should never use Shishandra berry in someone that has an active viral illness. I have never done it, but I know it's written. I've seen it in David Winston books. I see Matthew Wood talked about it, even Donnie Yance. And I don't know the exact mechanism of why, but I know I have never used it. So, for instance, if you have an acute viral illness from the flu or you have acute hepatitis, it wouldn't be my first-line herb to use. But it's invigorating. I think it's an invigorating herb. And it does have, although I mentioned hepatitis, it does have some studies on its hepatic protective effects. But I also could think of pygium, milk thistle, and dandelion that I would use other than that. The next herb, we have about 5 minutes left. I don't want to leave without talking about rhodiola. Now, rhodiola, again, very common. It's sometimes called rose root. It is Chinese. Definitely native. There is some in Canada. There is some in Scandinavian countries. And it really has, you know, out of all the herbs, when it comes to adaptogenic herbs, I like rhodiola as an antidepressant. It does have, besides the adaptogenic, I think it leans more to the depressive patient than the anxious patient. It can be a stimulant for the central nervous system. It is good for arrhythmias, because I have given it to people that have MVP, mitral valve prolapse, with palpitations, and also has some use as an antiviral or antioxidant. But again, it is one of the herbs that I would pick to adapt to the person's stress if they were depressed versus adapting to their stress if they were anxious. So I definitely think it's better adaptogenic herb for depression. And that's rhodiola. And, you know, rhodiola, all of these herbs have long Chinese and Asian history. Basically, you know, I remember Herbalgram, which we should discuss, is a magazine of the American Botanical Council. I would suggest, if you're interested in herbs, to join the American Botanical Council. Be a member. You do not have to be an herbalist. You will get their quarterly, I believe, or maybe monthly, I think it's their quarterly Herbalgram. And one of the first Herbalgrams I got was on rhodiola. And basically, it reviewed all these studies on rhodiola. This is about 13 years old, study on rhodiola. But it's nice that Herbalgram puts a lot of stuff together for the average person to reread. Mark Blumenthal is the founder of the American Botanical Council. He also is the editor, one of the editors of Herbalgram. And I would suggest, speaking about first and people, I think another place that you need to join, and I put it on today's blog with Ladies Mantle, was United Plant Savers. So it's UPS, but not UPS that delivers letters, UnitedPlantSavers.org or .com. Either one, I think try .com first. But this is started by herbalist, very well-renowned, 20 books to a credit, Rosemary Gladstar. And Rosemary founded United Plant Savers more than 20 years ago. It has saved many endangered species. I think as an herbalist or someone who likes plants and wants to save the planet, you should join United Plant Savers. It also is important because United Plant Savers talks about ginseng, and this is an herb that is becoming extinct. So I think it's very important that you would read about ginseng on United Plant Savers. You could even adopt an herb, help an herb, save an herb. Just like Bette Midler has saved a highway, I'm asking you to save an herb. And some of these herbs to save can be found on United Plant Savers, and also you can adopt an herb in Herbalgram. So, you know, you don't know what to give someone for Christmas. My answer is, why not adopt an herb for them? And, or save an herb by joining United Plant Savers. In the last minute and a half, I want to sum up about adaptogenic herbs. I believe that everyone should take an adaptogenic herb. We all undergo some type of stress in our lives, whether it's emotional, physical, or spiritual stress. It's very important to find the right practitioner and start an adaptogenic herb. The adaptogenic herbs range from rhodiola, eleutherococcus, ginseng, holy basil, astragalus, shishandraberry, and the list goes on and on. I would suggest looking up David Winston because he wrote a book on adaptogens. Look up Donna Yance. Look up fratellomedical.com and search adaptogenic herbs. I'm Dr. Fratellone. I'm the integrative physician. We are here every Tuesday from 8:30 to 9:15. Next week, we're going to have Ben Fleischer on again, acupuncturist at Midtown Center. We are discussing the Body Local and I believe the Midtown Soiree, which is taking place on the 26th of July. We will talk about that next week. I want to wish you a pleasant week, happy, healthy, serene, blessed week, and see you next Tuesday at 8:30. Good night and bless you.